Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Bundle of Oi. I'm your co-host Doug.
I am Amy.
And we're ready to go for episode 10.
10.
What's up for episode 10?
Big 10.
So we had a big day today. Do you want to start with that?
Well, that sounds great.
Okay. So today it ended up being our daughter's first trip to Disneyland.
Which was funny because we woke up not even knowing that this was going to happen today. But I had told Doug that I wanted to go walk around somewhere. Like, let's go someplace and just get my steps in, because I've been using my Fitbit and I've been trying to get steps in. So we tried to come up with an idea for someplace we could go walk around. So the idea that Doug came up with was Downtown Disney, which is basically like a little shopping area outside of Disneyland.
Right. You don't have to pay. It's not inside the theme park. So you can just walk around and shop and then leave. And I thought, well, this will be good. There'll be fun things to see. And what I'd forgotten about it, because it had been a while since I was there, but it's not that big.
No, so, I thought it was so much bigger for some reason. It really isn't.
So we just got to the end of it.
It's basically a gateway to Disneyland.
Yeah. We got to the end of it, and it ends where...
After 10 minutes of walking.
And it ends where all the ticket booths are.
Yeah.
So we got there and said, well, maybe we should just go to Disneyland then.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of had talked about maybe getting passes before, and we kind of were like wavering on it, but we're going to Disneyland in a couple of weeks. I guess it's a week from now. A family friend is in town, and we're going to Disneyland with her. So we knew that the question of do we get the annual pass versus do we get just a ticket, a one-day ticket, we knew that question was kind of like looming in our minds. Like, is this something we would do at least once a month?
Right, enough to make it pay off. And the calculus was that it did, so we ended up saying, screw it, let's go to Disneyland. Whee!
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
That is an interesting experience the first time you go as a parent. Because one, it's, you know, monstrously delightful for the child, but you also are all of a sudden recognizing, oh my God, this place is so crowded. Like, how am I going to get her in and out of like where we want to go, just getting her places in a stroller, then how's she going to handle waiting in line for a ride? How's she going to handle going on the ride?
And what was funny too is we didn't even get on our first ride until like an
hour. A few hours.
Like,
first time we got the passes.
Because you have to deal with changing the diaper and feeding her. Like, there's all these basic needs that need to be met before you even can think about doing the fun stuff. Because by the time we parked and walked around downtown and got the tickets and all of that, it was
and then it was lunchtime for her, so we had to find food.
And then we had to make sure her diaper was changed. Yeah, we didn't even plan for food.
Right, we didn't bring anything. We were other than like sort of diapers. So it was all of a sudden it was like, oh, we got to deal with this before we can do anything because she's miserable and hungry.
Yep.
And then we can go on It's a Small World.
Yeah, so we got a big giant turkey leg, which the three of us split.
Yep. That turned out
to be pretty good. It was kind of like a giant turkey. I was going to say turkey ham.
It was like a giant turkey leg.
I was going to say it was like a giant ham leg.
It did taste kind of like
ham. It
was
very salty.
And like the color of it was kind of like ham colored on the inside too.
I know.
Like, I don't know what they do to it.
I'd rather not talk about the way it looked. Like, because in essence, I am like, I want to say diabolically, but that's not the right word. Like,
diabolically.
I was like very against meat on bones and tearing off like ligaments, and like the whole thing is just disgusting.
And we should say, you are not a vegan or a vegetarian.
Not even a little bit.
You just want to have like a meat square.
Yes, I would like the square presented to me on a plate. I don't want anything to do with pulling meat off of bones. It's disgusting. I don't like the color of the meat. You're staring at me. It's like pink. It looks like it's not cooked, but it's gluten-free, which I have to be for my health condition, and it was one of my only options. Not only options, but I knew it was safe. So
really, it's not so much about the meat is cruel to the end. Like, you just don't want to have to be the person dissecting it.
It's just gross. It's, yeah, I have nothing
it's the
against
surgery
eating meat.
Aspect.
Yeah, I mean, it's messy, and it's stringy, and the meat never looks cooked. I can't. 1357.
Which is code for I can't even.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Eileen, I think.
Yeah, that was Eileen's gag.
Oh, God.
So
we got the turkey leg, which, can we talk about the turkey leg?
Would you like to talk about the turkey leg?
Can we talk about it?
Okay.
It's kind of a segue into another topic.
Uh-huh.
Which you're looking at me like you don't want to go here.
No, we can go here.
We're going here. So, if you're really hungry, don't share food with Doug.
No. I want to say, if you're really hungry, get in there and eat.
Doug will attack a meal as if there's no meal coming next. He abandons fatherly duties. He abandons husbandly duties.
Excuse me. I was cutting up that meat and feeding it to her.
He chows. Now, I have celiac disease, which means I'm a limited diet. So I knew I could eat the turkey leg. We double checked. But there's a lot of things in the park that I can't eat. It's not quite as easy for me just to go up to any food stand and order whatever the heck I want. But I knew that the turkey leg was safe, so I wanted to eat it safely. But I had Mr. Doug over here tearing it apart with his bare hands, not giving me an opportunity to eat.
I don't think this is a fair characterization at all.
He went at it. And this is how you do shrimp cocktail, too.
Well, okay.
You've gotten a little bit better with shrimp cocktail.
Let me go at this from another angle, which is how Amy eats food, which is this only happens when we have some communal thing that is being shared, as opposed to our own separate plates of things.
Yeah, I mean, if we both had separate plates, you wouldn't attack the food on my plate.
Okay, so here's the communal thing. And then, so I'm eating it at what I consider to be an average frequency. Every once in a while, I go in for the communal thing. I have some, and I continue on. You don't touch it for some reason.
Feeding the baby.
No, not the baby. I'm talking about when she's gone to sleep, and we have, a bowl of guacamole. And, every once in a while, I stick a chip in there, and I think, okay. And I'm eating it. And then you come up and go, where's all the guacamole? And all I can think of is, it's been 15 minutes. What have you been doing? Just listening to the guacamole? Okay. Eat it. Get in there.
Two responses. Response number one is, sometimes we look at our phones while we're having dinner. And so I'm engaged with checking a Facebook post or playing the game or just reading an article, whatever. So I don't need to be constantly shoveling food into my mouth.
I get that.
I have a second comment before you jump in there. Mm-hmm. Comment number two. If I know that I'm eating a communal plate, I will not say, each man for himself, blah, blah, blah.
I don't.
And shove my face in the food. I am fully aware that there is a second person there and I share. I make sure they eat and I make sure I eat. So if I have to put some aside for the other person, I will do that.
Okay. Like I said, I just tend to assume that if I'm eating the communal thing at a reasonable pace, I assume you are also doing that. But you tend to just not even touch it, or you go at such a slower pace. They're I've eaten, three-fourths of it, and you're how come there's none left? And all I can think of is it's been 20 minutes. Eat it.
So the lesson learned is that we need to separate the food first.
I think we have
because
to.
Because I can't with you. 1-3-5-7.
Okay.
It's the theme.
Uh-huh. 1-3-5-7.
Can we call that this episode that?
Episode 1-3-5-7 will be very confusing when you're trying to listen to them in order.
But yes, so I don't know what else to do with you. I don't feel like you're a sharer. I don't feel comfortable. If I was stuck on a deserted island with you and we had to hunt for food, I would definitely starve.
No.
You wouldn't share. I don't know what to do with you.
I'm happy to share.
You are so excited to eat and shovel food in. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with you.
Again, I don't think you have to do much to keep up with me other than put down your phone and eat.
I think I said something to you, too, while we were, devouring this turkey leg. And I was like, oh, I haven't eaten that much. And then I saw you tear off this, beautiful strip of meat and proceed to shove it in your own mouth.
No.
I was like, oh, you got a really good one. And you were
and then I cut it up and gave it to Celeste.
Here's some CC. And then I was like, oh, but there's a little bit left. Can I eat that? And then I was like, wrong, dog food. All right. Dog food.
All I can say is I did.
Covered enough of this topic.
I fed plenty of it to CC.
I'm not saying you didn't feed her. You did feed her.
All right.
But your wife was a little hungry. And then I proceeded to snack the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
On a pickle, so it's not like I went crazy, but yeah, I had a pickle.
Which I still find that hard to believe that, that as a concession stand item, that it's here, just a pickle in a bag.
For $4.
For $4.
$4.50, actually, I think it was. That is, it's a cucumber.
Right.
Like, I could go buy a cucumber at the store for a lot less.
But it's also just as an, it just seems like an unusual thing compared to, like, churros and pretzels and, like, you know, amusement park food.
Can you think of, like, the weirdest thing that they could serve you at a concession stand that they don't currently? That you would be like, ew, like kimchi or, like.
That's up there of, like, why do you have kimchi at a concession stand at Disneyland?
What's something else bizarre? Like a cup of tomatoes?
Like, yeah, it would have, like, to be something like.
Bizarre, though. We got Celeste some mangoes. That was normal. Because they have fruit stands, which I really appreciate. Because I like Celeste to eat, minus turkey leg, I like her to eat pretty healthy. So I was glad I could give her some fruit.
Yeah. I don't know what the weirdest thing as an amusement park food would be. I mean, it would have to be something kind of she-she. Like here, pate in the shape of Mickey.
I don't think that pickle is up there. I guess maybe because I'm so used to seeing it, it doesn't strike me as odd.
Oatmeal. Hot bowl of oatmeal for you.
That seems normal, though.
Really? Not as it, like, in the middle of the day. I'm like, oh, man. I guess so. It's a hot day at Disneyland. I just got off of Space Mountain. Get me a bowl of oatmeal. It just seems weird to me.
I think I'm thinking more, like, granola-y bar. That's, like, so it's kind of along the same lines as that.
Gotcha.
We'll have to come back to this topic.
We should talk
about it.
Well, we'll probably come back to this, because now that we've got passes, we'll go back to Disneyland more, and we'll probably have more observations.
Did we tell them that we decided to get passes, not just a one-day pass?
Yeah, we did.
We sucked it up. They have a payment plan, so you can pay, you can finance it. So it comes out to a pretty reasonable cost per month.
Yeah.
It's and we just canceled swim classes because didn't think we needed it, and she wasn't really gaining that much from it. So we thought it would be cheaper just to take her to the pool once in a while rather than pay for these once a week classes.
We figured it out.
Which we, like, miss every once in a while.
Yeah, it was way cheaper to just go to the pool and, like, put her in there and you know, wiggle her around and get her used to the water, which is really awesome. Swim class was.
I mean, at this school, they don't, maybe I've talked about this before, they don't teach survival swimming yet, which I thought the class was. And I wanted it to be, but they don't do it at this particular swim school. So if we wanted to learn that, we're going to have to go someplace else.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was basically replacing the monthly fee that we were paying on swim class. So it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
We're basically getting Disneyland passes for free.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. So,
that's how I rationalize it in my mind. I don't handle the finances.
Pretty sure the mouse is getting a lot of our money.
Oh my god, he got so much of our money today too.
He did.
With the parking snafu
We got screwed up parking. But so we took her on It's a Small World. That was her very first Disneyland ride, and I think she really enjoyed it. She was very tired at that point. She hadn't napped
yet. She really was, but she was looking and pointing, and Doug points out elephants that aren't there. Do you remember?
I thought it was an elephant from a distance.
It was really funny.
It wasn't.
It was a funny gag.
And then there was an elephant, so I correctly identified it as a pachyderm.
Yeah.
So
Celeste, I mean, she kind of enjoyed it. She looked like she enjoyed it.
I think she did. I think she had a good time on that one. And I think she enjoyed the Winnie the Pooh ride, too.
I think so, too, because she knows those characters.
Was that it? She doesn't know them that well, but I think she
knows the book. There's a book we have.
That's true. So,
but then we went on
Snow White.
Is it Snow White?
That was the last one we got to. Yeah, we only got on three rides the whole day.
Our 4 hours or whatever it was that we were there was the three rides.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, this was a lot of...
And she napped.
She slept. She slept for about 45 minutes in the stroller. Thank God.
Yeah. But
I got a lot of steps in at that point because we walked to the complete other side of the park.
Yeah.
We didn't even make it to Toontown.
No.
She'll love that.
Yeah, I think so.
Did we walk like right by it too?
It's near a small world. So yeah. We were close.
We didn't even think about it.
But Snow White, you know, I hadn't been on Snow White. God, I was probably 10 years old the last time I was on that ride. It's
really?
Been forever.
I'm sure we went.
I don't remember that. Not that one. I feel like that one's usually easy to kind of go like, yeah, Snow White.
Oh.
But so
see,
I
for
could,
me, it's like the lines are so short in Fantasyland. It's like, oh, let's go to the short rides.
Yeah. I just didn't remember. Like, from her perspective, that's actually a pretty scary ride.
I guess with the thunder and the lightning.
There's a lot of, like, dark. It's pretty dark through a lot of it. And there's a lot of, like, flashing and, like, you know, gloomy, laughing, creepy trees and stuff. And when we got to that part, there's, like, lightning flashing and, like, you know. It's sort of like the Wizard of Oz. You remember, like, those trees that, like, throw apples at Dorothy, but much darker. And she grabbed my side. I've never
seen
her do
that. And she did the all done.
Yeah,
the sign language for all
she
done.
She grabbed me and she was like, all done.
They
so that scared
that,
her.
But yes, like, honey, when you do sign language, they can't see it.
I know.
But yeah, she gestured that she was all done with the ride.
Yeah.
So maybe not that ride. I wonder how that's going to bode for Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
It's a little more light.
It's actually light.
I mean, light, like musically, and
that's true.
But it doesn't seem quite as gloomy.
It's pretty well lit. The one thing that might scare is the elevator at the beginning. Although right now it's all set up for Nightmare Before Christmas, so it might be a little more cutesy and maybe a little less scary.
Okay.
But we'll have to keep that in mind.
Hard to navigate that downstairs area is so crowded. We're totally gonna get her a baby leash.
Yeah.
Baby harness slash leash.
I think so.
I know it's ridiculous, and everybody's gonna judge me. I really don't care though.
But this is the thing that I realize, you know, again, as an adult, you don't think about it because you're not monitoring another person. But man, when especially today, it was a Saturday, or sorry, a Sunday that we went. So it was real crowded compared to, I think the next time we're planning on going is a Tuesday. So hopefully it won't be that bad. But when you're monitoring a child through a crowd that large,
it's horrifying. I mean, I had to really,
scary.
I really had to like pick her up or grab her hand, and like, she did not want to be held.
She spent about 90% of the time in the stroller, if not more.
But I was trying to hold her hand and she kept pulling it away. And I was like, oh no, like you might get away with that sometimes at the grocery store, but no, you're not getting away with that here.
No, not when there's, you know, 5 million people not paying attention to where they're going and trampling.
Can you
through.
Imagine? I'm like having anxiety thinking about losing her there.
Ugh. At least they probably have cameras everywhere in decent security.
I know, but
it would take a while
to find her, and that's scary, and I don't want to talk about it. So I'd rather leash her, and everyone else can look at me dirty. I don't give a shit. Like, my kid's going to be safe.
No, I mean, that level of hustle and bustle is just too much for her, and she'd be scared.
Yeah.
I think.
She would end up getting scared. She'd wander off, and then I think she gets overwhelmed in crowds, and she says "Kiwi." Like, I think she gets it. Something about her that gets it. Like, this is too scary for me. I want mommy and daddy.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward, though, to, I mean, getting back there and being able to do some more rides. Because today was kind of, we got waylaid by a lot of just business of dealing with Disneyland.
And we didn't really end up getting there until, like, what, 1? 12 or 1?
We weren't really into the park until,
I mean, we didn't really plan on going there. So next time we go, I want to leave the house early and get there at opening. And really get on some rides. And then we can leave by, like, 2 or 3. Well, maybe not next Tuesday, because if Joan is paying, then she'll want to probably stay a full day. But
that's fine. She can nap in the stroller again, and we'll go on and do more stuff.
Maybe we'll take my stroller.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't mind the small stroller?
Well, I don't know. I think the bigger one is more cumbersome because it's large.
I think I just like the bigger one because it's got the places to put the drinks.
Holders.
And or maybe we just have to buy the attachment for the...
I don't know what you're talking about. The attachment for the what?
The cheap stroller. Because it used to have a cup holder and we lost it somewhere.
Yeah, it never stayed on.
No.
It was terrible. But so that was our first day at Disneyland, and we got some cute pictures in. And
we did.
And I think on balance she enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to taking her back. Especially, like I said, taking her back on a Tuesday when
I hope she likes it, because I was asking her about it at dinner and conversations with Celeste. I don't but I did say, like, oh, do you want to go on another ride? And she was very much like, no. And I don't know if she meant, like,
I don't know
right
she
now
and
there. Like, if she thought it meant right now, do you want to go
probably
someplace? And maybe that's what she was, like, knowing about.
Yeah, I don't think she understands the concept of, like, do you want to go on it ever? I think that was more of, like, do you want to go on a ride right now? I'm sure she was thinking, like, I'm at home eating dinner, so
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I hope so.
If she comprehended any of it.
Yeah.
And she also just says no for the sake of saying no all the time.
She says no constantly.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to say yes. So that's
I'm working on it.
Yeah. We'll get her there.
I'm teaching her a head nod.
But I think she just thinks that's funny.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll keep you updated.
So that is our trip, our first trip to Disneyland. I think, like I said, on balance, a success.
I mean, I give it like a B.
Yeah. We'll make it
give it a B. I mean, I was really excited to be there with her.
Yeah.
It was really nice, and like, oh my god, we have a daughter, and we're at Disneyland. This is like a big deal.
I got a little teary.
Did
at
you?
Certain point. Yeah, a little emotional. Like, oh my god, here it is. We're getting on. It's a small world with our daughter.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool.
I'm
watching
think that
her light
moment,
up.
Like, getting on It's a Small World, I'll remember. I might not remember Winnie the Pooh or, like, any of the
nah.
other. Maybe I'll remember eating the turkey leg and how it changed our relationship. But definitely It's a Small World.
Especially after turkey leg becomes exhibit A in our divorce.
Yeah,
I'll remember this pretty well. I'll remember her grabbing me in Snow White because she was scared. I thought that was super cute, even though she was scared.
I remember holding her up on my shoulders during It's a Small World. She really likes riding up there.
Oh, not during the ride, but
no,
you mean
during the line. That would be good.
Yeah. She's definitely coming along with the ride, so
yeah. So that's that. What's our next topic?
Next topic is under the heading of eyebrows versus tickling.
Oh my God.
Would you like to explain this?
You're so random. Okay. So this is not about parenting at all. This is about our weird, like, preferences, ticks. Bodily tics. Doug really likes eyebrow, like, stroking.
My own, I should
say. Not necessarily his own.
Mostly my own.
Okay, so when we first started dating, I would come over and hang out, and we'd, like, watch TV in the bedroom. This sounds great for me. I'm not, like, a super slut, but, like, we'd watch TV in your bedroom, and I'd, like, snuggle up to you, and, like, I remember your hand, like, gently falling over my face, and I'm demonstrating right now, stroking my eyebrow, but the hand being in front of my eyes, and being like, fuck, I can't see anything. How do I tell him to stop? And you can ask Tanya and Kristen, because I definitely talked to them about this.
Great. I don't even remember this. So there you go.
Except that I bring it up like once a year.
Yeah.
So Doug has a weird thing about touching his eyebrows. And I've asked you if you like the way, like, if it's
your
fingers that like touching your eyebrows, or do your eyebrows like receiving?
The magic. The magic happens because of both at the same time.
Okay, so it's
so
both.
So you just if you touch my eyebrows, or if I touch your eyebrows, meh. But touching my own, magic happens.
This is so bizarre.
Isn't it?
It's so weird. It's totally think it's weird. So much weirder than my weird tick.
Okay, well, let's go with your weird tick then, so we can put them up against each other.
I like my skin being lightly tickled. Right. Not like tickled like, ha ha ha, like I'm going to get you in your armpit. Like, no, I'm not interested in that. Although I have no reaction to that kind of thing most of the time. Don't laugh about that. Yeah, I like it when you like lightly touch my legs when we're watching TV. Every night for five hours.
But not just your leg. I mean, it could be, you know, your side, your back, your arms, your neck, like other parts of you.
It's like the feeling of the, like, goosebumps that you get and, like, the way your hair kind of stands up. You can't do it to yourself. It doesn't feel the same.
No.
It must be by another person, preferably your husband.
Yeah.
My mom used to tickle my arms a little bit sometimes.
I don't get that. To me, it's like ants crawling all over you, and you think it feels good.
Like, what's so funny is, like, I've always loved the way it felt until I got pregnant, and then I hated it. Didn't I really hate it when I was pregnant with Cece?
Mostly. Yeah, and it almost like, entirely turned you into a normal person who finds tickling ticklish.
And then it, like, went back to normal, like, a few months after she was born, I think.
Yeah.
Although once in a while, like, I have, like, a weird, like, ugh.
And sometimes it's very localized, where, like, you're fine tickling with me tickling your back, say, and then if I move my hand over to your side too far, and you're like, no, you'll like freak out, like I'm murdering you.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, like, and then like that, and then the next time that area will be fine.
And I always tell you, like, because you're always like trying to be better about how you do it, and I'm always like, location, location, location. People are weird and not listening anymore. I think they're definitely turned off by this segment.
Are they?
I definitely think so.
How weird we are? I don't know. I think talking about how weird we are is probably more entertaining.
We're freaks. I would like you, the audience, all four of you, to please weigh in. What is weirder, liking your eyebrows touched or to be lightly tickled?
Or maybe it's something you do that's even weirder.
What's your weird quirk?
Yeah.
So please tell us.
So I just can't wrap my brain around it because it's like, oh, I like drinking poison. Like, you're the one person on earth that enjoys drinking poison.
But
that's
see,
what it
I
sounds
think
like
people
to me.
Like the way it feels. I've never met another person who's like, I like to stroke my eyebrows.
No, that's definitely weird.
I've
it's
met
all
other
that.
People who like to be tickled, mostly my family, and we have a word for it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
What's the word?
Baidao?
Yes, which as if it was some sort of like treatment you got at an Asian massage place.
It's a real word that we made up.
Okay.
Kyle made it up. Can you spell it? My brother is Kyle, by the way.
B-H-I space D-K-O-W or something.
I think it is.
It has a silent K in it.
Yeah. No, I think it has a silent N in it. It's B-H-I-D-N-O-W.
That's it. Silent N.
Like the word no, sort of.
Sure.
Canal.
Yeah.
No
has an N that you
K.
hear. That's N for no.
I'm dumb.
Yeah. I can't think of too many silent N words.
Can you think of any silent N word?
No. There's the N at the end of damn.
How about like Wednesday? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We say Wednesday very weird, by the way. We do. You say the N like it's in the weird spot. Yeah,
I do.
You. Yeah, you.
Wednesday?
No. Spell Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, but you say it like it's W-E-N.
How do you say it?
Not you, everybody.
Oh, everybody. Okay, I thought you're talking to me like I'm insane. I'm like, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
No, the word I say weird, according to you, is cookie.
Cookie.
Can I have a cookie?
That sounds better.
Okay. I don't know how it's different.
I don't know. Sometimes cookie. You say it funny. Cookie.
Cookie.
It's like cookie.
Cookie.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, let's move on to another topic. So the right age for dating. This came up on one of your
It came up on one of my boards. Mommy groups, and I thought it would be an interesting topic for us.
So without naming names, what was their take on it? The other person
brought
this up.
I didn't even read the whole thing. I just saw the survey question about, like, when's it an appropriate time to date? Or, like, would you let your 15 or 16-year-old date, I think was the question.
All right. Well, would I let my 15 or 16-year-old date? Yes.
Okay. Same.
Yeah.
Same answer. Go on, sorry.
I was going to say, the first quote-unquote date I ever went on, I was 10, but that's not...
Oh, my God. But that's not a date. Too young.
That's not a date date. That's
you
like...
You need to go on a date. That's when you, like, fake hold hands.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Where did you go on a date to?
We went to, I think, the Sawdust Festival.
You actually went somewhere?
We did. I mean, I was 10. Oh, it's God. Not real. It's not, like, a real date.
That's bizarre.
But
I'm sorry. I think that's really young. That's not real. That's, like, a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Think, really started dating until, like,
I didn't go on a first 12. Real... I didn't go on what I would consider a first real date until I was 15.
Oh, my God. I didn't even go on a real date until I was in college. So, like, I'm way behind.
Okay.
I'm not the person to talk to about
By the way, I wasn't very good at it when I was in high school, but I tried. Best I could. I wasn't good at it in college either, come to think of it. But my feeling on it is, at about 15 or 16, that's an important time for self-exploration in terms of figuring out who you are, and also in terms of figuring out how to relate to the opposite sex, or I guess the same sex, if that's what, you know, you end up...
yeah, whatever your preferences are.
Yeah, but the point is, if you don't at least... try, you have to go through a lot of what I'll call target practice, essentially, before you land up with your permanent mate. Not necessarily, but generally speaking, you're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. And so you have to give yourself the allowance to make those mistakes, and that hopefully you'll learn from those experiences so that you'll have a better idea of, like, oh, this is a person I would want to commit to for the rest of my life, having seen other things and learning about what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And so the later you start that, the farther you are, there's toys everywhere. I just sat on one. The farther you are behind.
Okay, but here's just to play devil's advocate. I don't disagree with you, but I just want to play devil's advocate for a second. Like, you didn't settle down with me until you were, like, 30-something, like, early 30s.
We met when I was 31.
Yeah.
Almost 31.
So, like, if you're, like, are you really dating someone when you're 15 that you could potentially end up with? Like, why not wait to start till you're 21 and, like, you've done the whole, like, high school thing without dating? Why is it important to date when you're in high school? Why can't you wait till you're older?
You can. I'm not saying you can't.
I'm not saying what I feel. I just want to know what.
Yeah. I would say there's obviously no one right answer. And I think it's when you're emotionally ready to try. But I think it would be strange to self-impose a barrier on yourself. Like, well, I'm not going to date unless it's someone I even have the potential of marrying. Like, yeah. Well, you don't know. That and you're whether you have the potential to marry someone or not is a very hard thing to know. And I would say, again, to use an analogy of, like, you got to walk before you run, I mean, it's that same thing. Like, you're starting from zero. Everyone starts out dating from zero with no experience at all. So you know, if someone's got a 5-year head start on you, they're going to have a better sense of, how do I even ask a person out? How do I deal with getting broken up with? How do I deal with breaking up with somebody else? How do I, you know, negotiate, you know, the beginning of a relationship where you're trying to figure out, how do I feel about this person? What do I say? What do I do? You don't have any knowledge on how to do that. And if you're starting from scratch at, you know, age 21, that's fine. But just recognize you're playing catch up compared to somebody who's been doing it since they were 15.
I think, like, you can't necessarily deny who you're interested in. No. Like, if you're in high school and you have that crush on somebody, I mean, it's not like you're going to necessarily go and get yourself in trouble and get pregnant. No. You might just have a nice time getting to know somebody else. And exploring those feelings.
In a different, like, wavelength. Like, you know, look, I had plenty of friends in high school who were female.
Yeah, but you didn't have crushes on all of them.
No, I didn't.
Or you were a young boy, so maybe you did.
No. But there were people I did have crushes on. And when I was fortunate enough to get to date those people, even when it didn't work out and it was a fumbling early attempt, it was important for me to learn of, like, you know, one, how, could I put myself out there and be vulnerable and say, I wonder if this person likes me back. Like, do they like me like that? You know, that's an important question to be able to ask and then find out the answer to, whether it's positive or negative, and learn how to deal with that. Also, I mean, look, when you're a teenager, you know, this is all part of growing up to me. Like, it just seems like that's part of the experience.
I totally agree. And it's about balancing, learning to balance. You've got your dating life. Not that I ever did, but you have your dating life and your friend life, and you're still trying to do school and sports and all this stuff. And it's like, how are you going to learn how to prioritize and manage all these fumbling balls in the air, so to speak? If you don't have,
we can talk about that some other time.
If you don't have the practice when you're younger, I think it's just like putting restrictions on kids. Like, I think the question came out on the message board, like, would you let your kid do this? And it's like, whether I let her or not is kind of irrelevant, because she's at school on her own.
And she's going to have,
these things.
Experiences and emotions and feelings towards other people, that it's hard to, like, just put a chastity belt on her and say, like, don't feel anything until you're 21.
Even if I was like, you can't date, she's still going to find a way to make it happen. She's going to lie. And it's
while hating you.
She's going to lie about it. She'll do it at school. Mm-hmm. She will hate me if I don't let her go out. And maybe it would be better if they were more like group dates and she doesn't do like dates by herself until she's like
a little older.
But I don't, I mean, we'll just have to see how it goes. But yeah. I don't want to put her into like this bubble of not having experiences because I'm so afraid that she's going to get pregnant or something.
Well, like, and I think some people view dating as like the only purpose behind dating is for marriage and reproduction. And it's like, well, no, it's not just about that. It's about forging a connection with another person. And if that connection ultimately doesn't end in marriage and or reproduction, that's okay.
You, like, still have these memories, these wonderful memories.
Yeah, I don't regret. I mean, I don't regret any of my time dating people before you. That all led me to you.
No, I mean, I've got some awful experiences.
Yeah, not all of it was positive. I wouldn't change, but I wouldn't trade any of it.
I wouldn't either, because I learned what I was and wasn't willing to put up with. I learned about myself. I learned that I could fall and I could pick myself up again.
Right. That was a big lesson.
That's a huge one.
Yeah. If you never learn that lesson, that's, I mean, what a valuable thing to go through.
You need to go through that. You need to know that you're strong enough to get through anything.
Yeah, and I by want yourself.
Her to have that. Yeah. And it's okay to be alone too.
Right.
You don't have to date forever. Like, you need to learn how to be your own person as well. But I don't think you can have that lesson until after you've dated and broken up with somebody.
Yeah. For example, for me, one of the things that I learned about myself through that process was that ability to go, like, you know, when I was a kid, I was shyer and I thought, oh, who's, you know, no one's going to like me. No one's going to want to go out with me. You know, all those like insecure things that you think when you're younger. And so, you know, it made me think of, you know, when it came to dating, like I was so afraid I'd make a mistake. Because then this person would go away and I'd never be able to find another one. You know, it was like, you know, I've got to make this work because, you know, my odds of landing, getting, tricking somebody else into going out with me are so low. And what I learned was like, no, if I'm confident and I can meet people, and if I decide someone's not right for me, I don't have to stick with it and make it work. I can, you know, politely, you know, end things and say, you know what, I need something else. This isn't quite right. Let me try something new. And there will be something new out there, and I will be able to find it, and it's not the end of the world.
Yes.
I wouldn't have had any of those lessons if I didn't let myself have those experiences, or if my parents didn't let me, at least when I was younger, you know, try things like that. I got my heart crushed when I was 16. And you know what? That's okay. That was a good part of growing up. I don't regret any of it.
Yep.
You know, like that, I assume you went through something like that in high school. Whether you said you didn't date much, but you had a crush that went nowhere.
I had like the ultimate crush in high school, which like led to many ups and downs, but we never dated.
I was trying to think of...
we were friends.
What's Jared Leto's character's name from?
Jordan Catalano.
Thank you. You had a Jordan Catalano.
You didn't know because they eventually got together.
Right.
Which you've never seen. But yes, they get together. But my love was unrequited. And that's okay, but I, you know, it was a huge part of my high school years.
Right. And it formed you.
It formed. I mean, but you know how relationships are or crushes are when you're in high school. You're just, like, all consumed. You can't shut that off.
No. But it's important that you had that experience. Wait, how old were you? 15? 16?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, 15 through 17 or 15 through 18. I had the biggest crush on this person.
Right. But if... Could you imagine going through that experience at 24? Like it would be.
I don't think I was as obsessed with anybody in my entire life as I was with my high school person.
Right, but if you don't have that experience in high school, in theory, then you're stunting your growth.
You would be doing it for the first time when you're like 24,
and that's awkward. It's not even the right word. I couldn't think of what the word for it is, but it's maladaptive.
It's like immature.
You're basically behind.
Yeah.
At that point. And I think, you know, you owe it to yourself, and I will owe it to Celeste too. We'll just have to suck it up and recognize that, like, hey, there's a slight chance she'll get knocked up, but hopefully she'll be a smart
girl.
Here's
my thought on
that. And she won't do it.
Here's my thought on that. And I hope you'd agree with me, but I hope when she gets to the age like of real dating, when she's like 16 or 17, we just put her on birth control.
Yeah.
Because I would rather her just be on birth control and feel comfortable having safe sex with condoms, not just birth control,
right,
than having like an oops moment.
Yeah, no.
Because I honestly don't feel that like putting her on birth control is a free pass for her to just go have sex. Like those aren't the lessons we're going to be teaching in our family, that you can just go have sex with whoever you want. Hopefully we build enough of a foundation and like teach her to respect herself enough.
Good judgment.
And teach her good judgment that she doesn't just go sleep with anybody willy-nilly. But if she has a long-term boyfriend, kids have sex when they're young. I mean, what was I, like 18 or 19?
I would have killed to have done that.
But I don't know. To me, it's just like, let's just put her on the birth control or at least have that conversation with her and kind of gauge how things are going. I hope we just have that relationship with her where she feels comfortable enough to come and talk to us.
Yeah, otherwise you're fighting this uphill battle against, one, her biology, and then, two, you're having an uphill battle against her just as a person, saying, like, I don't want you to do this because I'm your parent and I'm the fun police and don't.
I mean, and me telling Celeste not to have sex isn't going to work.
No. But teaching her that, you know, we love her and support her and want her to make, you know, be ethical and make smart decisions for herself, because we're not just telling her to do something to do it. We're telling her to do something because it's a good idea. You know, this will work out better for you if you listen to us and don't do something stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that hopefully she responds to that, because I think that, you know, this even comes in with, like, you know, when she's much younger, you know, with other types of things. But when the rules are arbitrary and just imposed dictator style, one of the problems with that is, I think we talked about this very early on, these different parenting styles, but that authoritarian style doesn't help, because they don't understand that this is a rule for their benefit. They just think that you're the fun police.
They're not learning anything. They're just being told.
They're being told not to. Right. They're being told this is how it is.
Without a purpose.
Yeah. You want them to you know, understand that rules are not being imposed because we feel like, you know, kicking their butt.
We feel like it.
No, it's because this isn't just a rule. This is a piece of good advice that will lead you to a happier life if you follow it, because it's based on wisdom and judgment.
Yes.
You know, so I hope she gets that
from us. I hope so. And I don't really know how to teach those things. I think that we just have to figure it out.
I think we just talk to her so she understands this is why. It's about adding a why. It's not just, hey, bedtime is at 8 o'clock. Bedtime is at 8 o'clock because if you stay up too late, you'll have to get up in the morning and you'll be tired and you won't, you know. Yeah. You know, same thing for this. It's, you know, she has to understand the why. And once she understands the why that we're asking her to do something, hopefully she'll be able to get on board with it and say, oh, okay, now I understand why you're asking me to do this.
And hopefully, I mean, she's a pretty smart kid already, but hopefully she picks up on she seems to pick up on stuff pretty easily now.
Yeah.
But they're very basic things that we're teaching her. But yeah, I mean, even now, like, I'm trying to teach her to hold my hand before she crosses the street. She's so far not listening.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, that's the same lesson is, like, you've got to hold my hand and got to listen to mommy.
Yep. All right. So I think it's time for our proud moment and parenting pale of the week.
I'm so bad at these. You know why I'm so bad at these?
You don't write them down?
Not because I'm so stuck up and I don't think I have, like, parenting pales, but I'm just so bad at remembering things.
Yeah.
If you asked me what I did, like, a week ago, I have genuinely no idea.
Yeah, it's about making sure we track it.
I genuinely don't know what we did last weekend.
I don't remember what we did last weekend either. So, okay. Was that the Vegas weekend?
Oh, yeah. It was in Vegas.
Okay.
So which one do you want to do first?
All right. Why don't we do our fails?
Okay.
So I'll this is a mutual one. We're both kind of on the hook for this.
What? But I will you can't point me out.
Well, no. This is something that we've both done, and so I'm going to say I'm going to take the fail as part of for my hand in doing this.
Okay.
Which is that she's taken to blowing snot out of her nose.
Oh my god, I can't do anything about it.
I know.
I don't know why.
We were trying to teach her to blow her nose like into a tissue. She had a bit of a cold this week. And so now she thinks it's funny to just go as hard as she can until stuff comes out. And we go, ew, which is the reaction that she's looking for because she thinks it's funny that we go, ew. So it's a vicious cycle of snot and giggling that I'm hoping we can curb. But for my part in imprinting this behavior onto her, I will take a bullet.
Okay. So. I don't really think it's your fault that I don't think you failed.
Okay.
But I guess you can use that one as yours.
Yeah. I know I contributed to this.
Okay.
No, that's mine. Do you have one? Or?
No, I'm perfect.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't think of any. I didn't write any down.
All right.
I didn't write any down. Let me double check my phone. Okay. Sometimes I write them down.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to give you my proud moment.
Okay, but
you.
I'm not listening yet, so hold on.
Okay. Well, there's a podcast still
it's
running.
It's a podcast. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Audio's a podcast.
Okay, I don't have one written down.
All right. So here's my proud moment for you, which is watching you give her piggyback rides.
Oh, really?
Is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Her delight at it. I didn't know you had even tried doing this because it was something I was looking forward to and I've never done it with her. And all of a sudden, you're like, come on. You like hopped her, you know, she hopped right up onto your back.
Uh-huh.
And the smile on her face from that is magic.
Aww.
And so that's my proud moment is watching first piggyback rides.
Do you want me to tell you how that started?
Okay.
Well, we went for a walk around the neighborhood and then like maybe 12 houses down, she put her hands up and said Cooey, which means carry. Right. And I said, oh, hell no.
Okay.
I'm not carrying you all the way back. So I put her on my shoulders.
Oh.
And it wasn't as hard as carrying.
It probably just distributes the weight a little easier. Yeah,
so that's how that started. And that was really only a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay. Well, it's super cute.
I know. I wish I could see her expression because I can't tell if she's having fun or not.
I can tell you she's having fun the entire time.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. My proud moment was going to be that you just pulled the pulled the, what's the phrase? The
rabbit out of the hat.
You pulled the cord. You
pulled the rip cord.
You plugged in the cord.
I pulled the rip cord.
Is that a saying?
That's a saying.
It's not, I don't know if it, I don't know if it applies.
Okay.
But you bit the bullet. You shit. What's the saying?
I don't know. Tell the story. I'll tell you what to say.
You said, let's go ahead and just do the Disneyland passes.
Oh, that'd be I pulled the ripcord.
Okay, so you pulled the ripcord on that. Mm-hmm. Because I was wavering and like I couldn't decide. And like I think you recognized that this was going to be a year of these amazing memories. And I was just proud that you said, fuck it. Like, who cares? It's not that much money. Let's just do it. And like, it'll be a fun family thing for a year. So you like ultimately just said, let's do it for like, you set us up for a year of fun. And I'm using this for the next month.
Well,
for the next year.
For the next year, this is my amazing. Yes. The one thing I did was I paid for Disneyland.
No, it's not that you paid for it. I think it was just like, had the decision been up to me, I would have said, let's not do it. Let's save the money. But you were just like, let's just do it. It'll be fun. It'll give us something to do on those days when we don't have anything planned. And I complain.
Yeah. I think that's, to me, that's the best part about it. Part of it has been that the summer here was really hot. And that kind of put the kibosh on doing a lot of outdoor activities because it was just so miserable.
It was so gross and we didn't want to be outside at all.
Yeah. And so that meant that it was like, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go to this mall again because there's only really two indoor malls that are anywhere near us and one of them sucks balls.
Oh, yeah. The one that they're redoing.
Yeah. It'll be nice when they remodel it. But for now, it's awful. And then so how many times can we go to the same mall and loop around?
I pretty much go to the same mall. Maybe it hasn't been quite as much, but it was like once a week for like months and months and months just to walk.
Just to go in a circle.
Just to get out. Do you know how much money I spent on clothes that we didn't need just because I was like, I need to like go somewhere.
What else am I going to do? I'm at this mall. Yeah, I know. And I was thinking the same thing because weekends would roll around and we'd go like, well, what are we going to do? Well, we can't do anything because it's too hot to go to any of these other places. And so to me, it was sort of like, oh, well, now the weather's kind of nice. And even in the summer when it's hot and we're looking for something, that we can still go there.
We can go at like 5 o'clock at night.
Or go and like, you know, when you're on the rides, it's nice and cool in the rides. But still, it's like, what are we going to do? Well, going to Disneyland and bumming around for a few hours is always fun. And she'll enjoy it, I think. And there's so many rides and there's so much to see and do that, you know, for her, you know, even at her age when she can't do some of the bigger kid rides, it'll be a great source of just, hey, entertainment, especially with you having 2 days off a week.
Yeah, you know, I'll be like, able to go with a friend, hopefully.
Right.
He has a pass, so.
Right. We know other people with passes, so that's great. Like, in the middle of the week, you're like, ugh, I want to get out of the house. Let's go to Disneyland. Yeah. Whee!
Although I'm kind of worried about going alone and, like, dealing with a stroller by myself and all of that, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I still think, on balance, you're going to go a lot and you're going to really enjoy it. So.
Okay. We'll see how that pans out. Even if we don't go by ourselves, like, I don't go by myself, I still think we will go enough as a family that it will make up for it. I could even meet you there after work. Like, I could pick you up at your office and we could go straight there.
We could. It just depends on her sleepy schedule.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's by the time these passes wear off, she'll be 2.5 and she'll be a different kid by then.
Yeah.
So.
And we'll have to renew at that point because after that, if we decide we like it.
Yeah.
Because she'll go up the following year.
And she'll
the price will go up.
Right. Oh, the price will always go up. So if you want to try and lock it in forever, but
No, not that. I'm saying that at age 3, she's not free anymore.
Right, she needs her own pass.
So we would have to renew before she turns 3.
Okay. So,
anyways,
I'm glad you like that. I think we'll have a lot of fun with it, and I imagine we'll have some fun stories to share, whether from our own experiences or just sightings of whatever happens with other kids there.
That's gonna be a lot. I remember going there and seeing kids on baby harnesses and just like being like, I cannot believe people would ever put that on their kid. And now I'm the biggest hypocrite.
You're like on Amazon looking for one.
I know. I get it now. So I apologize if I have ever like criticized demeaned anybody. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Now the muzzle for the kid, that's probably putting it too far.
No, I don't want to. Okay. She says the cutest little things.
She does. So if you want to say the cutest little things to us, you can send them to bundleofoy@gmail.com or go to facebook.com/bundleofoy. Please leave us feedback. And if you review us on iTunes, I will write a limerick about you. and read it on the air. So that's our guarantee to you.
Yes. So please do so.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have a topic you want us to cover, a question you want to ask, we'd love to hear from you because we're just winging it ourselves. And if there's something you're interested in, we'd like to know about that so we can cater to you guys. So
thanks for listening to our crazies.
Thanks again. And we will see you in a week.
Ta-ta.
Bye.